We're on a mission from God.
And now, something completely different.
Yeah.
Well, good morning and a happy Saturday to everyone. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity. Don't forget about Trinity.
Never.
In Darmstadt, Illinois.
And you are listening to
Wrestling with the Basics. By the way, Matt, before we get started, and Matt has chosen a wonderful topic. Matt's hungry, so we're going to talk about food today. It's the all-food
episode.
And it's
not even bacon. It could be bacon. We'll see. We'll get into it. Maybe it is bacon.
It might be.
We'll figure this out.
Well, that's what it might involve, whether you can eat bacon or not. But I'm excited because this plan we have to commercialize Pentecost.
Yes.
It's catching on.
It is.
It's
really
catching on. Yeah. Jim Vieland. I hope I haven't butchered your name there, Jim. V-I-E-H-L-A-N-D-N. With that L-A-N-D-N. L-A-N-D. Would that be Vieland, you think?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Jim's embracing our concept. He's got some more ideas for us. He says he fully agrees that Ascension and Pentecost are under-celebrated holy days. And in fact, one of my members was visiting on Pentecost, and she was surprised. They didn't even mention it was Pentecost Sunday.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were talking to something else, didn't even mention. And so that's what I'm saying. If we commercialize it, at least we know that every pastor on that day will be talking about how we need to remember the true meaning of Pentecost.
That's
It'll
right.
get somebody to preach yeah. on, something for them to preach on Pentecost.
That's
day.
Right. Yeah, commercialize it. So there's a kind of a false meaning of Pentecost out there, the commercialized
right.
Pentecost.
And so then people will actually then preach about Pentecost.
The real meaning, sure.
Now, some of the ideas that Jim adds, I'd never thought about this, but we need to have an official flame of Pentecost. And so he's suggesting either Zippo or Bic.
The Zippo, the Pentecost flame.
Yes. But this is what we need, this kind of thought of how can we bring in all these other businesses and corporations, because that's where commercialization is all about. It's all about the merchandising.
That's right. Exactly. Good. Yeah, where's the moneymaker here?
Now, he also suggests we need to have a holy smoke.
Holy smoke.
What do we got? We don't have a holy smoke. What do we got up there?
We don't have holy smoke, but we do have a...
Holy cow.
And let it make... Matt and I do not advocate smoking, all right? We're not in favor of smoking. This is from Jim, but he suggests maybe Eve would be, you know, an official holy smoke.
A holy...
The brand
yeah.
Eve.
Oh, okay.
You know,
very good. Yeah.
Or he thinks there should be another brand called Samson. Great rugged attraction for men with either long or short hair, he says. In each case... A kind of a dangerous female aspect to it that would appeal to the modern mind. And then finally, we actually kind of had talked about this, that it would be ideal for barbecue.
Yeah.
But, sure. But he thinks it could be the perfect opening of the barbecue season.
Oh, now you're talking.
And the Weber Grill Company, which I think is a great product tie-in with the Weber Grill people would be perfect. So thank you. Thank you for that. And it says, what could be more fitting for an American celebration than making the event only about the food we eat?
That seems to be the magic formula, doesn't it?
And that segues into our subject today, which
food.
Is also about food.
How about
food.
That?
Thank you, Jim, by the way.
Yeah.
So keep giving us those ideas, because by next year, we want to have this whole thing to be totally commercialized the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for listening. We've got a whole year to work on it, yep. So here we go. Yeah.
All right. So what is this food business you want to talk about, though?
Well, the food business I want to talk about is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8.
Okay.
And the book of 1 Corinthians.
Now, concerning food, it's right
well,
there at
see,
the very beginning.
There you go. Your handy dandy Bible's got it there for you. We've got
right.
the, you know, that wasn't in the original Greek. I don't
it
think
wasn't?
They had the handy section headings in the Greek. You had to figure it out yourself.
So.
But, you know, we keep in mind that this is an epistle meaning letter.
Yeah.
And so
We're reading his mail?
We're reading the Corinthians mail. Really, we're reading Paul's mail to the Corinthians, yeah. Which is kind of cool. We get insight here. So delivered to the people in Corinth, probably delivered by someone, a messenger, and most likely this letter read to them, probably the whole thing at one time.
So that's okay for us to be reading Paul's mail, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's what would happen. The Corinthians and others would pass it around to other churches, and they would share the mail.
Is that right?
Yeah, this was pretty helpful.
You've got mail.
Yeah, that's right. They had no idea what that meant. You know, isn't that funny? It was probably, the internet, millennia away. But even today, that my kids probably have no idea what that you've got mail from the American online thing.
That's how dated we are.
Too old now to understand it.
Well, again, I am the old guy.
You are the resident old guy here on Wrestling with the Basics.
You're Matt Youngblood.
Weird. Happy for that. So they were passing around. Paul has got some pretty good stuff here. The other church, Ephesus down the road, maybe they could benefit from this and would pass it along. So certainly us Christians today in the city of New Athens or the city of St. Louis or the city of wherever can benefit from these words of Paul today.
So if Paul was doing this today, this would have been posted on Facebook. Is that what you're telling me?
And then you could share it.
You could share it.
How convenient.
Yeah.
And you could like it or what are the other? There's different emotions out there. You can like something or be surprised by something or love something. I wonder what people would say. If some of Paul's words, they would probably like others. They probably maybe give a thumbs down.
Yeah.
Because there's that word of law. Okay. Anyway, we're back to chapter 8. Chapter 8 is talking about food. And what does the heading say there?
So it's food offered to idols. So not food in general, but food offered to idols.
Which we hear that, and we're talking about our barbecues and grilling season starting, and here we are, food offered to idols. Yeah. What does that have to do with us today?
That's a good question. I don't have any idols. I'm not offering any food to idols.
Yeah, well, and is anyone offering you food that's been sacrificed to an idol?
I don't know. I go down to that the thing they have at the Grange. They have their big bratwurst supper, but I think they just cooked them on the grill. I don't think there was any false altars involved.
Yeah. So, exactly. I mean, kind of same here. No one's offering you a pastor.
So let's scratch it then. Get rid of that chapter.
Okay.
It was a nice idea, but it has nothing to do with us.
Well, that was easy to cover. Do we have another letter from Jim? Let's read it.
Right.
We've got some
letters
time to kill.
Jim.
No.
I have a suspicion that you're going to make this relevant.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that. So why don't we begin by simply reading here what
a wonderful idea.
what
a concept.
Paul has to say to those in Corinth and also to us, God's people in various places today. So let's go ahead here. Well, don't read yet.
Okay
I'm going to stop you again. I'm sorry. I know you are poised to start reading.
I was ready.
But just to kind of set the stage here, because...
Yes.
We're not being offered, most of us, I would assume, not being offered food that's been sacrificed to an idol.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? Was this a common practice in Corinth? What's going on here? And in a way, it really was. Food that's been offered to an idol could be eaten in a number of different ways for a number of different reasons.
Okay. I've never heard this before.
Yeah.
Okay,
So for instance, the temples, false temples, temples for idols, they would have banquet facilities.
Is that right?
Yeah. So if you're having a dinner, you're having a reception or whatever else, a party, you can rent out the banquet hall
at the Baal
Temple.
There
you go. And perhaps that food that you're eating most likely had been sacrificed to an idol. Kind of like you can rent out a hall from the
VFW.
What do you have? The EFW, the Knights of Columbus, or whatever else.
Yeah. There you go.
See?
Religious
organization, right?
Because that might have been the leftover fish from the last fish fry.
I know.
Okay.
You never know.
Yeah.
So, kind of the same deal.
All right.
That here's this false religion, right?
And you're not making this up. This is actually true?
I am not making this up. This is actually true, yeah. And it sort of makes sense. So if you're going to eat there, maybe the food that you're eating has been sacrificed to an idol. Well, what do you do? Do you RSVP and go? Or do you stay home? What do you do?
And more likely, because, you know, the thing is the gods, they don't eat a lot. So you could sacrifice a lot of meat to them and still have a lot of meat left over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, but, you know, really, this was even a practice in Israel, you know,
is that
in the
right?
Old Testament. Yeah, certain sacrifices brought to the temple, some of it was burned or given as an offering to God. Others of it, maybe a portion was given to the priest for them to eat. So, you know, kind of a similar thing. But here with the worship of idols, we have enough left over that it's given to the people in general, you know, and it's even used in the banquet halls and even sold in the marketplaces. So that's sort of the next way that food sacrificed to idols could be consumed. It's sold in the market. So you have the market there in Corinth, and some of the meat at the butcher shop is a sacrifice to idols. Like, can you buy that? Do you go, or do you seek something out that wasn't? What do you do? So, you know, not necessarily an issue today when we go to the grocery store, perhaps. They don't have the sacrifice to idols section over here. but certainly it was for those in Corinth. What do? Do you buy that? Do you not? Do you just not eat meat? What do? And then I suppose the other way that this might come up is if you're going to someone's house who maybe is an unbeliever. And
maybe they
have you over to their place, and is this food that they're serving you, has it been sacrificed to an idol? And if so,
because you have no idea where they get their meat from.
I know. So
they might be getting it at the kosher. They might not be getting it at the kosher grocery store.
So do you eat? Do you not eat? Do you feed it to the dog when they're not looking? What do you do?
And you know, I mean, seriously, that's got to be part of this too, because at this point, the church is primarily made up of Jews, and of course, Jews have all kinds of restrictions in terms of what kind of meat they're eating.
You know,
it's got to be kosher. It's got to be blessed by the rabbi and all kinds of stuff like that. So you've open up a whole can of worms now. Of course, we didn't have that problem before Christianity came, because we wouldn't be dining with anybody other than fellow Jews. But course, in this new church thing, you've got Jews and Gentiles, and they're all together. And you're right. You don't know what they might be serving you.
Yeah, very good. So you have this broader context of, when it was just the Jews, easy enough. But now we've got Jews, we've got Gentiles. What do we eat? Who do we eat with?
We should have just kept it with the Jews. We wouldn't have all these issues.
No, I'm glad the Lord didn't do that, because...
Well, that's true. You and I wouldn't be here.
Okay. And now the added layer here, you know, what do you do with food sacrificed to idols, even if you are a Gentile?
Because now you've got to show some respect. That's right.
And maybe you're not used to that.
That's right. No, before you ate anything you wanted. Sure.
Yeah. And these Christians in Corinth, many of them, you know, new Christians, perhaps they had been a part of that idol worship at some point. And now what do they do as a new Christian? Can they continue to eat that food? Is that permissible? Is it not? What do you do?
Well, yeah. When I was worshiping the idols, I would go down to the Baal market and get all the meat I wanted. But now can I still do that now that I'm a Christian? Because, Baal, he's a false god.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you do? So they are asking Paul about this. And so Paul, in this letter, he addresses this issue of food offered to idols. And he addresses it in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. So if you don't mind reading verses 1 through 3.
Now, concerning food offered to idols. So I see what you're saying. So apparently someone had asked him about this.
Yeah,
and now he's
responding.
It's going
to be addressed.
Okay. We know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Well, isn't that typical of Paul? We got a simple question, and he gives us all of this rigmarole.
Has he even mentioned food yet? What's going on? So he prefaces, he begins this talk with talking about knowledge and love.
Okay.
And this, I think, really sort of frames this whole discussion about food sacrifice idols, and probably some other issues in our lives today, too.
That's something. It might have something to do with us now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, see, so maybe Paul knew that it wasn't just the guys that were dealing with the idol meat stuff.
Yeah.
It might actually be read by people that have other concerns, but knowledge and love is something that affects all of us.
Yeah, see, there's a deeper issue here than just the meat sacrificed to idols, than just the Baal marketplace. There's a deeper issue here.
Could I just make a real quick comment on that?
Well, sure.
Your wife has just published a book, and the name of that book is?
It is
Yeah?
What is it? No, it's the messengers discovered.
And I think it's the same thing because that deals with one issue, but I think there's deeper issues in that book too, isn't there?
Oh, sure.
That's
have you read it?
No, I haven't read it, but my grandson has.
Oh, good.
So I'm getting a blow by
Eric's
blow.
Eric's working on it.
Eric's working
good.
On it.
Good.
Okay,
for
I'm
him.
Sorry. I just had to throw in a plug
well,
for your
thanks.
Wife.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And she'll appreciate
messengers
that too.
Messengers
Discovered. It is available through Concordia Publishing House. It's on Amazon. Look it up, and most likely the first out of a series. So,
that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
That's good.
So exciting things. Great for youth. And anyway, yeah, thank you. All right. Back to 1 Corinthians here. knowledge and love, okay?
Yes.
And knowledge, he says, puffs up. And we're, you know, specifically talking about knowledge of God. You know,
oh, yeah, that's what this is good knowledge here.
Yeah, this is good knowledge. So is Paul saying that knowledge is a bad thing? I mean, you're a pretty smart guy. You don't let on always, Pastor John, but you know your stuff. You know, knowledge and specifically knowledge of God, not a bad thing,
not
right?
a bad thing, but apparently it can be a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's the impression I'm getting here.
Yeah, so, I mean, Paul's not saying you don't go to Bible class or don't listen to Wrestling with the Basics. No, he's not saying that at all. Don't change the tuner.
I don't think the theme knowledge and Wrestling with the Basics, those would never come up in the same conversation. But I appreciate
That's
your point.
So knowledge puffs up. So if it's knowledge and even knowledge about God, just for the sake of having knowledge, just to edify yourself, what is it that I'm doing? Just sort of puffs you up.
Yep. Yeah, it makes you proud. Because I know the right answer. Yeah. I know I can answer Paul's question about food offered to idols. Yeah. I got it all down.
If I'm invited to a trivia night and there is a round on Bible trivia,
you're there.
I'm
going to
know
the
answers.
You're
They'll
the
want me at their table if that comes up.
That's right.
So again, knowledge of the word, wonderful thing, blessed thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, by itself, in and of itself, it can puff up. So Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but what? Love
builds up.
Because who does your knowledge needs to benefit someone, not just yourself? And it's kind of how this discussion is framed about food sacrifice to idols. Because do we live, you know, is our faith a private thing?
No. Apparently not.
No,
apparently
it's not. A personal thing, right? A God-given thing.
Yes, but we forget
definitely.
It's also a public thing.
But yeah, it's not. It's also a public thing, and Paul wants us to keep that in mind as we go on here about food sacrifice to idols. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Going to keep on going?
Yep. Yeah. Let's go on. What else?
Okay.
Do we
verses. If you want to read verses 4-6.
Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know, so we talk about knowledge again, this is the knowledge part, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. All right, so that's the knowledge part. Yeah, there is no such thing as an idol. There's only one true God.
Yeah, so if we're only going to look at this through the lens of knowledge, we have the knowledge that these gods are nothing.
Yeah.
They have no existence. So if we're just looking at this in terms of knowledge, can we eat meat sacrificed to idols?
Well, of course. Why not?
Why not?
What difference does it make?
They're
an idol is a nothing.
Meaningless.
Yeah.
You know, they're a statue, they're a hunk of wood, they're a hunk of stone. Nothing. Why not?
Yeah, so let's go on down and let's get start eating that meat. We could eat bacon even, couldn't we?
Especially bacon.
Especially bacon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if that is the only issue, yes. They're nothing. There's lots of so-called gods in heaven and on earth, and they're meaningless. They're nothing. There's only one true God. And
so thank you, Matt. So the point is that basically as Christians, we can do anything we want to.
Yeah.
So just do what we want.
As long as we have that knowledge.
Yeah.
No, wait a second.
Wait a second.
No, there's more. There's more
to the story?
And see, this would be so simple if that was it. Case closed. No such thing as an idol.
Yeah.
Eat the meat.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the story, though, because that's the knowledge part of it. But what about this love part
of it? Oh, that's right. The love building up.
So let's read the rest of the chapter, or verses 7 through 13.
However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Keep on reading.
Yeah.
For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, oh, great. My computer just went blank. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble.
All right.
Nice thought.
Yeah, thank you. So, our knowledge tells us idols are nothing. Go ahead and eat the meat, right? But some don't possess this knowledge.
Nope.
Right? There's some who are maybe new Christians. There's some that maybe still are a little unclear about this sacrifice to idol stuff. You know, when you eat the meat, are you really worshiping an idol or not? And maybe they're not quite clear on this yet. Maybe weaker brothers, yes. New Christians, okay? They're still figuring things out. And what does Paul say? Well, out of love for them, even though it's okay, out of love for them, perhaps don't eat that food.
Yeah, because love builds up.
Yeah.
Love doesn't care about what's right or wrong. It loves about what I can do best for the neighbor.
Yes, exactly. Out of love for neighbor, refrain. You know, he ends with verse 13, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. And what a sacrifice. Become a vegetarian, Paul? Is that what you're saying?
Does this mean no
he
more bacon?
He must really love.
No more bacon?
That is,
okay.
Paul. So again, is eating meat permissible? Sacrifice to idols?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it beneficial to do it?
Well, it might be beneficial for you.
I get to eat bacon.
It depends on what your neighbor, how it's going to affect your neighbor.
See, that's the love of neighbor. You have to keep them in mind. And again, it comes down to this idea, too, that faith is not a private matter and how we live that out. You know, it's a personal matter, but no, how we live out that faith, what we do as Christians affects others. It affects our neighbor. And to keep that in mind.
And, you know, it just occurred to me, see, this is so totally different than the way our culture does, because our culture is all about our rights.
Yeah.
If it's my right, I can do that.
Yeah.
And yet here we're having a call from Paul that maybe for Christians, it's not so much about what our right is, but how our rights might impact our neighbor.
Exactly. Think about that.
And therefore, maybe we can set aside, it is our right. We can eat meat if we want, but for the sake of the neighbor, especially lest we offend his conscience, we'll put aside eating the meat.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a couple of questions for you, and we don't have enough time to finish them, but I'd like to raise the questions. Number one, so we have directions here what we're supposed to do if our brother is weak.
Yes.
I did notice that. This is a guy who's not sure whether it's right to eat meat offered to idols or not. So one question I would ask you is, what if the guy is strong? What if the guy comes up to me and says, you're going to go to hell because you ate that meat that was offered to an idol, and God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and so by eating that meat, you have broken the first commandment, and you most certainly... So what do we do with a strong guy? And then here's the other thing that you're going to have to work on over this next week, because you were the big shot that said, oh yeah, this isn't just about food offered to idols, but it also applies to us, but I don't hear that yet. Where in the world would this ever apply to anything that goes on in our lives today?
I get the feeling we're going to have to talk about this next week on Wrestling Basics.
I'm thinking
and
we
that
might.
Is perfectly fine. real quick,
yes.
Whether the brother's weak or strong, weak in the faith, you know, new to the faith, or quote unquote strong in the faith, saying what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
I think either way, whether you refrain or not, you got to just teach. You got to just share.
Okay.
You know what this is, and that share that knowledge. Because we talked about knowledge by itself not being necessarily beneficial, but, you know, on the flip side, love by itself, not always
can't find
beneficial.
It there,
where do I close?
Oh,
here's
that's
the sound effects. So it's both that love and knowledge together that's
all
important.
Right.
So, yeah, let's wrestle with that a little more next week on Wrestling with the Basics.